Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dialed In. I'm your host, Bethany Clemenson, and I am here today with Dr. Gail Frankel. I've known Gail for a few years. She is a fellow member of the John Maxwell team. She is a coach, speaker, trainer, nurse, and university professor. She works a lot with youth and young adults, and adults, but she has a strong heart for youth and young adults, and she helps them live the life that they want and not the life maybe they were taught to live or that their parents want them to live. She also works with individuals who have experienced trauma and helps them understand their worth and working through that and move forward to be the best version of themselves. Prior to coming on today, she was talking about how she always tells her coaching clients that she is not the instant fix, that they're the ones that have to do the fixing, but she's the guide. So I love that. Today, we're going to kind of do something a little bit different. I usually ask my guests what living a big life means to them, but considering the state of our world and the panic that's happening and the tendency to be living in fear, Gail is going to talk to us today about taking care of ourselves and not only our physical body, but also our mind and our thoughts. So welcome to Dialed In, Dr. Gail.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, of course. So I'm going to let you start where you want to start, and I'll interject questions as we go, but we're just thrilled to hear from you today. Take it away.
Okay, thanks. Hey, I am glad to speak to you today, everybody who's on the call. Thank you for having me. I'm very passionate about what I do and what I do for people, but in this time of crisis, having worked 30 years in the healthcare, I'm a nurse by trade, and having worked in the healthcare system, I've learned a lot of things, and they have come. I've lived many years and been through many of these situations. This one's a little bit different. I think mainly because of social media and the technology we have. But I want to talk to you a little bit about taking care of yourself because this is a new routine for everybody. So you may have had a routine that you were doing when you were going into work, or you may have had a routine when, as a child, you were going to school every day and you were seeing your friends. I worry about our seniors because their whole world has been shattered, okay? And so I worry about them. So you need to take care of your mental health hygiene. And that comes down, you know, the most precious thing we have is our brain. And all these things, all the thoughts, all the stuff, the environment that's happening around us really impacts that. And, I know that a healthy brain will give you a healthy life. And I think we kind of forget about what goes on in the brain. So right now, we're all talking about hygiene. You know, we're talking about washing your hands and cleaning your surfaces and wearing masks and gloves and social distancing, all of this stuff. But there's very few people that are talking to you about your mental health hygiene and how important that is. When we're under stress, which, you know, I don't like to use the word assume. We all know what that acronym means. But I think I can assume that we're all under some stress right now, right? There's not one of us that doesn't have some stress going on. And so you need to really look at what that stress is doing to your immune system. Because when we are under stress and when we are heightened in stress, it lowers our immune system. Now think about what's going on right now with this pandemic. That immune system is the thing that needs to be a rock star right now. It's always kind of a rock star for us, okay? We need to keep it healthy all the time. But right now it needs to be a super rock star to keep us healthy. So I think it's really important that we do a daily mental health check on ourselves. And there's four really simple things you can do. Are you getting enough sleep? Most people need about 7 to 8 hours of sleep. You know, it's hard to believe, but you need that amount of sleep because that's when your body rejuvenates. It's when your immune system gets some rest and gets ready for the next day. The second thing is we need to exercise. You know, I don't mean you got to be out there powerlifting and doing all this other kind of stuff, but you need some routine exercise daily. And if you're stuck at home and you can't go outside, I used to call my mother and I used to ask her how she was doing it with her exercise and stuff as she was getting older. She lived to be 90 and, she wasn't getting out as much as she used to. And she'd say, I am house surfing today. I'm surfing around my house. I'm getting my exercise. And she would make so many laps around the house. So there are things that you can do to get up and get moving and to keep that. The other thing is what's your diet? You know, are you still eating healthy? Are you making sure you're not eating a lot of junk food? You know, you could probably put the two together, the couch potato and the junk food addict, you know, during this time. It'd be easy to fall into that, you know, while you're binge watching certain things. and then the last one is, are you taking time for you? Okay, your new normal has got all kinds of people at home. You've got kids at home that are taking school. Maybe both parents are now working from home where they used to go out every day. Are you, it's just a difference. You're all kind of thrown into this one place. And so it's more important than ever to take 5 to 15 minutes, whatever you can squeeze in every day, where you get in a quiet place by yourself. And you just clear your thoughts and breathe. Always making sure that you're inhaling a little less than you exhale. And so I count. I count to four. I breathe, inhale 1, 2, 3, 4, and I exhale 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And just do that for that period of time and just shut out the world. That will give you that restart in your brain. It'll kind of clear out the cobwebs in your brain that have gotten there all day and will help you kind of handle that. So I'm a brain health coach with the Amon Clinics with Dr. Daniel Amon. And I love this analogy, and I use it now all the time, that he uses about the biggest issue, when we have about these big issues that get heightened during stress. And he calls them ants, A-N-T-S, automatic negative thoughts. And so he kind of likens it to the little black or red ants that you have on your sidewalk. And if you've ever watched an anthill be built, it starts with one ant. And then another ant comes and piles on that one. And they just keep piling on each other until there's this, what we mm-hmm. call an anthill. Okay? And so when that happens, and we have all these negative thoughts that are coming in every day, they start to pile up on each other. So it's kind of the same analogy. And we're disinfecting everything else. But are you disinfecting those thoughts that you've taken in all day long? Are you getting rid of those ants? Our media attention that's coming at us is violence and pandemic and all this stuff. And 80% of that is negative. And that's not mm-hmm. just in this pandemic, but that's in the world we live in now. We see violence and it's
right.
Everything is real time. It's like we don't have to wait for the newspaper tomorrow to see it like
right.
we used to when I was growing up, right? And so if we all are listening to all of that and we're not balancing the scale between the positive and negative coming into us, it's gonna have a negative impact on our health and our immune system. And mm-hmm. I can tell you 100% that we as human beings, we don't react to reality. Yeah, that's what I said. We don't react to reality. People are probably going, whoops, what's she saying, talking about here? We react to our perception of reality.
Right, isn't that the
that
truth?
Perception.
It's like, yeah, yep.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So you got to disinfect those ants. You got to get rid of them. Yeah, as he puts it, you got to kill the ants. You got to get rid of those ants. And so it's just really important that we think about that, because our mind, as well as I do, we've studied with the same mentors, is that our mind, the conscious and subconscious mind, kind of dictate us. You know, I call it the scrapbook of our life. I call it the subconscious mind or scrapbook, because every millisecond of our life since we've been born is in there. You know, it's constantly recording it. And if it can't decide whether the things we're hearing are true or not. So if you're letting all those negative thoughts come in all the time, what the subconscious mind's going to do, it's going to say, oops, hey, she's letting this come in a lot. I've heard it a lot. I guess I'll stick it over on the page of truth in the scrapbook. And, oh, I'll help her out. I'm going to put it on autopilot. She didn't have to think about it anymore. And that's kind of been happening all our lives. So if we're letting all this negative media stuff on come into our face all the time, it's going to build up like that anthill. Now, the conscious mind can choose. It's best if we can choose real time, whether it's a truth or not, so it puts it in the right place on in the scrapbook right away. But we can challenge those automatic negative thoughts that are piling up. We can challenge to say, is that true or not? So I think it's real important that we realize that in this day and age, that check that we do, that mental health check is going to help us with that. I choose in every situation who I'm going to listen to. So maybe this will help you, some of your listeners, to decide who I'm going to listen to. I choose to listen to people that I feel are giving me proof as best they know it right now. They're not putting out what if, and they're not putting out maybes or those kind of things. They're giving me the honest truth. And so then I choose who that's going to be. So for this crisis right now, I listen to the CDC. I listen to the World Health Organization. And surprisingly enough, I listen to my governor and my head of my health department here in Ohio. I have been pleasantly surprised that they have been very thoughtful. They have brought their experts around them. They think before they act, and they give us a plan. And they have been constantly doing this throughout this crisis. It's not that we haven't done everything everybody else has done, but we've done it systematically, thoughtfully, processed. And if you look at the map right now, Ohio has less little dots on it than everybody else. And I have to say they've stepped up in the leadership. So those are the people I choose to listen to. Now, in another situation, I would choose other people, but I think yours may be different from mine. But you have to choose who that's going to be and shut out the rest of them. So they're just noise.
Because I love this, Gail.
You want to make sure you have more positive in your life than negative, right? If you think of that scale.
Absolutely.
And that's the only way you're going to do it is to challenge your thoughts. You know, one of the things that I love to do is that I keep pen and paper everywhere. I have it all over my house. You can find a pad and a pen and paper probably in every nook and cranny of my house, in my car, in my purse, everywhere. But what I do is when I feel anxious or when I feel upset or I'm sad or I'm just out of sorts, I take that pen and paper and I write down what I'm thinking. Now, some people, if they're young people listening, they could say, I'm not writing on paper. Well, you can put it in your phone. I don't care where you put it. Just get it out. I like the pen to paper because I feel there's a transference from your brain down the arm to the pen to the pad to the paper. Mm-hmm. But you can do it however. But you need to write it down somewhere or type it down. What is the thought that's making me sad, mad, nervous, out of sorts? And by putting it on paper, you're going to give it perspective. You're going to get a perspective of it. And so you can read it to yourself, look at it, and say, is this really true? Because now you've got perspective. It's not the little ant running around in your head telling you those negative thoughts. And 99% of the time, when you say it's not true and you turn it into a positive statement, that's going to be good for you. That's going to help you, because what you're going to see as you do that over time is it's the ant that will in control of the dialogue, not you. So I say kill the ants. I don't know about you. I don't want to be part of their anthill. I don't want to be included in that and heal. But they're simple to do, and we make things so difficult sometimes that, and especially when I'm working with young people, I like to make it relevant and down to earth for them. And I think this is a very easy way. Every time a negative thought comes into my head now, I see an anthill in my head. I see little ants in my head. And it's like, it reminds me of that. And you can take those negative thoughts and turn them around and put something positive in there instead. And I think it will help you. It'll help your mental in all this, being home with your family. Some people are realizing that they want to go back to work because they've been home with you know, people for too long. you know, like, oh, my gosh. I've been home too long. It can help you with that to get through this, because we will get through it. I have no qualms that we will we'll get through this. It's going to be tough. You know, it's getting tough, and we still got a ways to go, but we'll get through it. We've gotten through it.
Absolutely.
In history, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I really like this whole the ants idea. I've never heard it put that way, but automatic negative thoughts. So if I was to summarize this, I would say that we get to choose what we accept or reject when it comes to our thoughts. We can't always choose the thoughts that are coming at us, at least initially, right? But we can choose whether we accept or reject those thoughts. And then Dr. Gail, would you recommend that when we notice a negative thought that we reject it and that's the end of it? Or do you think it's important that we replace it with a positive? Or what's your preferred process for that?
I think just challenging it is the best thing to do. If you can challenge that negative thought when it first comes down and say to yourself, okay, I just heard this. Is this true or not?
Mm-hmm.
If you can stop it from going into your subconscious as a truth, you know, where it's going to make its own decision mm-hmm. and say, hat, you know, you can't do that with every thought that comes in, you know, but I know that we do not have to listen to every thought that comes in to our head. We don't have to listen to it. We choose what we listen to or we don't listen to. And so if you start doing that and challenging them right when they come to you and either turning it to a positive statement or just throwing it out, you know, and saying, I'm not even taking that one in, it'll get easier and easier, and it will start happening. And what I found is that I started to find things in my subconscious that I needed to challenge, that I didn't know were there, that I had had my whole life. I can give a quick example of, I thought I was afraid of heights my whole life, but I loved to fly. It made no common sense to me that I could have a fear of heights and love to look out the window on an airplane. That just didn't make sense. Until my mentor, Paul Martinelli, got in my face and said, is that a truth? Or is that something you were told as you were growing up? And once I was able to pull that out and test it and try it, 2 weeks later, I was doing a 40-foot zip line, you know, and walking a wire.
Right.
Oh my God! Why didn't I know to challenge this years ago? All the things I didn't do in my life, and it was nothing that my parents said to me that was. It wasn't meant to be negative to me. It was just what the doctor told them and said. Oh, she shouldn't I had rheumatic fever as a child. So, oh, she shouldn't be excited. She shouldn't do heights. She shouldn't do roller coasters. All those things. They were just doing what they thought was keeping me safe. But the way it seated in my subconscious was I had a fear of heights. When it had no logical reason to be there. So I think we all have some of those in our minds. And once you'll start seeing and getting into some of those, once you start on a daily basis challenging the thoughts that you allow into your head. And I think the biggest one that we have right now in our face is the media.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, for us, in my family, we quit watching the news years ago. I don't even know when that was. And I've had people say, well, how do you stay informed with the world? And you need to be aware. And we're aware. We just filter, you know, it. I'm not going to sit in front of Fox News or CNN or any of the news stations all day long because so much of it is not fact. It's so polarized. And frankly, it's just yucky feeling. I know that's not a very high level word, but it's just,
but
it's
exactly
yucky.
What it is. You feel yucky.
It is. And so here's the interesting thing that I've noticed. So our kids, they're 13 and 15, and right now we are we're staying in my mother-in-law's house while they fix up some cabins, and she likes to watch the news, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, everybody has their own preferences, but the way that it negatively impacts the kids, like they're just not used to hearing about murders and stabbings and horrific things happening to babies and seeing pictures of bodies being zipped up and that's just not something that is normal for them. And so when they're faced with that, they're like, I don't want to see this. I don't want to watch this. Like, this makes me feel bad. It doesn't help my thoughts. It makes me feel scared. And, you know, I'm still trying to process through that, whether we've like done them a huge disservice, you know,
or if that's
okay. But I know for us, like, I was exposed to the news and stuff growing up, and I feel better. I feel like I like to put things in reference of heavy and light and how I feel about it. And I feel so much lighter living this way than I do being in the heavy and the yucky of where I was, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And so I just think it's really important that we analyze what we're allowing in. You know, there's other ways to be informed other than mainstream media, and who you surround yourself with matters. And doing that daily mental health check, Gail, that you talked about, like that's paramount for us to really navigate life successfully, whether we're in a pandemic or not. So I love all of this. Anything else on your heart today, Gail?
No, I think this is the time. I'm a person of faith, so I believe God has given us this time for us to reconnect with our family, to reconnect with the world and each other, and see the good in each other. And I think now's a good time for getting yourself into this daily brain health check and continuing when we go back to the new normal, whatever that is. You know,
right.
Those are still important, that sleep, exercise, diet, time for self. Those are still important pieces that we all need to do every day to be able to take care of our brain, because it is the most important thing we have in our body. And it's unfortunately the one thing we don't look at as closely as we do with the other organs. We forget about it. It's just there. But we need to care for it. It needs to be cared for just like you would care for your heart or your lungs or your liver or you know, your bones, anything else. You need to care for that brain, and the way we can do that is to get rid of those automatic negative thoughts that are coming at us.
I love it. Well, speaking of connecting, in just a minute, Gail, I'll ask you how people can connect with you, but I do want to run through some things I took away from what you said today. So I have three big points, but there's like sub-points under some of these. So because there was so much, it's good. I love it. We've basically talked about mental health hygiene, and I love that phrase. So number one, a healthy brain equals a healthy life. I think you said that in the very beginning, and I wrote that down. I love that. A healthy brain equals a healthy life. Number two, do a daily mental health check, which includes the following. Number one, 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Number two, exercise. Move your body every day. Number three, monitor your diet. And number four, take time for you. And then the last thing is the whole ants story that you talked about. Get rid of the ants, the automatic negative thoughts. How do you do that? You have to be aware, first of all, of what you're thinking. So start being aware of the thoughts that are coming at you. Challenge them, and then choose whether to accept or reject them. Love it, love it, love it. So I have a hard time calling you Dr. Gail just because we're friends, and I've always called you Gail, but I want to show you proper respect. So Dr. Gail, how Tell me how people can connect with you. I know that you did a, you were part of a youth summit, the same summit I was part of. And so maybe you talk about that and then also how people can connect with you outside of the summit.
Absolutely. Yes, I was honored to be part of the Global Youth Summit. And my topic I talked about was there is no one like you. The fact that we're all, as young people or adults, we're all individuals and we're all born with a gift. And we get to choose how we're going to live our lives. We choose our attitude. We choose our self-worth. We choose to take responsibility for ourselves. And it kind of goes off the old adage of Dr. Seuss's, there's no one like you. It's truer than true. Mm-hmm. There's never been anyone like you. I think I paraphrased that wrong, but anyway. So that was really great, trying to help these young people try to adjust to the craziness of not having a routine that they've been used to, and for some learning how to go online, which I'm sure was interesting for some. I have a page on Facebook, Together Providing Hope. That's my tagline. I believe that hope is the light that ignites the spark that leads us out of our darkness. So Together Providing Hope is my tagline, togetherprovidinghope.com. They can email if they want to gail@gailfrankel.com. I'm excited to say that starting in May, I'm going to be launching a podcast called Hope for Today. So hopefully, I was able to add value to them today and look forward to connecting with them as we go forward.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Gail. So Together Providing Hope Facebook page and togetherprovidinghope.com. Listeners, if you're driving and you're not in a place that you can write this down, don't worry. I'll have the teaching points and ways to connect with Gail listed in the show notes. Also, if you have youth in your life, or you are a youth and you're listening, or you work with youth, or you just need some hope and encouragement, check out the Rise Above Youth Summit. And you can find that at riseaboveyouthsummit.com. There are 24 amazing speakers on all different topics. The lessons are typically 30 minutes or less. Some are even 10 or 15 minutes. Bite-sized chunks, you can listen to them in whatever order you want and whatever speaks to you. So check it out. This is a free summit. Definitely pass it on to someone that you know. So thank you again, Gail, for being here. And thank you, listeners, for spending your time with us. I know there's lots of things you could be spending your time on, and we appreciate you being here. Don't forget to subscribe to Dialed In so you never miss an episode. And until next time, take action. Live big and stay dialed in.